Good morning. Do you think God is fair or unfair? This was the question that was on the mind of the disciples at the end of Matthew chapter 19, where Peter asked Jesus this question. See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? See, Peter wondered if he and the disciples, because they had been there first, because they had followed Jesus from the beginning, because they had been with him teaching and healing, he wondered if they were going to get more. He wondered if they were going to be given a place of prominence in the kingdom of heaven. And it would seem only fair. Shouldn't they get more? They had left everything. They had given up quite a bit to follow Jesus. Do you ever wonder whether God is being fair to you? Do you ever look at your life and see the struggles that you're going through while that non-Christian who blasphemes God over here has everything going just very easily and wonder, how is that fair? Do you ever think about maybe that same person who spends their whole life blaspheming God, that he could actually repent at the end of his life and be standing next to us in heaven? That seems like a little much, doesn't it? It doesn't seem fair, right? We think that we want fairness from God, but Jesus' point in the parable that I'm about to read that was a response to Peter's question here, it wasn't so much about trying to show that God is really fair in a way that we don't understand, but it's to help us recognize and to rejoice in how God is not fair. And so as we look at this parable this morning, I pray that God will teach us to rejoice in the way in which he is unfair. So we read from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal with us, who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, first glance at this parable, we might think, boy, this really is unfair. Could you imagine if you were one of the 12-hour workers? Could you imagine what your response might be? That's not fair! Are you kidding me? You mean these lazy bums over here who work just 1 hour get the same thing as me? That's not right. I can't believe it. But let's not forget that these 12-hour workers were saved from the same unemployment as had those who were there just 1 hour. Had the master not hired them in the first place, they would have gotten nothing. But rather than being happy about that, they grumbled because in their eyes, the master had been too good to those others. They thought that they didn't receive the same measure of grace that they had received. Our sinful nature has this idea that God sometimes is not fair and that he should be. Our sinful nature wants to think that we deserve more from God because we're stronger than other Christians, or because we've been Christians for longer, or because we've given up more or suffered more for the faith. And when we don't see that our lives are better than those around us, we start to grumble against God. We become envious because of the grace that he shows to others. And in our grumbling, we cry out to the Lord, "Just be fair to me. Give me what I deserve." Well, what do you think you deserve? What would God give you if he was being fair? He would give you eternal death in hell. That's what you deserve. Remember, those 12-hour workers were just as unemployed at the beginning of the day as those who were there for less time. Remember, you were born just as much a sinner as everyone else in the world. You were born as God's enemy, deserving only his wrath and punishment, and you each sin much daily. And because of that, you deserve only his wrath and punishment, eternal life in hell. If we were to receive the wages that we deserve from our God, we would receive death. But God in his grace wants to give us what we don't deserve. He wants to give us salvation and eternal life with him in heaven. And he gives us this because of the unfairness that he showed, not to us, but to his own Son. Jesus is God's only true, faithful worker, and yet God threw him out of the vineyard. He made Jesus pay the wages for the sins that we had committed. On the cross, Jesus suffered that death that we deserved, and he died that death that should have been ours, but Jesus willingly went to the cross to die for our sins. He willingly went to his death so that God could give us what we do not deserve, so that God could be gracious to us all. Jesus lived and died for us so that we would be able to enjoy his victory over the grave forever. Jesus did it all so that God could come to us through word and sacrament and bring us into his kingdom of grace. Because of what Jesus did, God is indeed that generous landowner, and he has brought each of you into his vineyard. Jesus says at the end of our text, "So the last will be first, and the first last." And that's not bad news for us. It's not bad news because how often, after we get finished with thinking of ourselves as being so high when we're actually confronted with our sins, how often do we swing the other way and think of ourselves as those workers who had only been there for an hour? How often do we recognize ourselves as people who have not always served and loved God as we should? People who have let time for God's word be bumped away by more sleep or watching TV. People whose offerings get bumped down because we want to buy something else for ourselves. How often are we people who are slow to share God's grace with a friend who needs to hear it? And what does God give you? Not the punishment and damnation that you deserve, but he gives all of us his Son, who washes away our sins with his blood, and he gives us that home in heaven. A landowner called many different people to work in his vineyard, and at the end of the day, he gave them what he had promised. Dear friends in Christ, the day is coming and the world is drawing to an end. And we will each stand before our Savior. And do you know what he'll say to you? When we hold on to his grace, when we know that the Lord delights to give us what we don't deserve, that one who calls the first last and the last first, this king of an upside-down kingdom, a kingdom that doesn't always seem like it's fair, he will simply say to us, come. Come into this kingdom prepared by my heavenly Father. That's what I've promised you. Yes, even you and all sinners who hear my gracious call. It might not seem fair to human ears, but this is the grace of God that he has chosen to show to us. So may we always rejoice in God's unfairness. Amen. We close our chapel worship this morning with two verses from hymn 377. We'll sing verses 1 and 6 of hymn 377.